All right. Good morning, church. It's great to be together. I just want to welcome you all if you're visiting this morning to the Bloomington Church of Christ. It's great to be in from the cold. I feel like winter tried to come a little bit early this year. I don't know about you guys, but there's some different things I notice when winter's coming. Like when you're dressed for the outside, but you're inside. Like, this last week, who wore a sweatshirt inside to stay warm? Like, I know I did. I was inside, and I was doing some of this, and some of this, and finding another blanket, just trying to stay warm. But amen, we're together, and it's great to be able to just worship God. You know, it's truly an honor to be able to speak to you all this morning. I look around this room, and I see many disciples that have been following God for many years. And I just want to thank you for your faith and passing it on to us and being able to have this family together. Last week, we were really blessed to be able to hear from one of our passion groups, and we got to hear about renewing our mind. And I'm very interested in that topic and learning more about it. And it was really encouraging. And this week, we're continuing. We have kind of this mini series on passion groups, and we're going to talk about our passion group, the Holy Spirit passion group that Anna and I lead. So you can go to the next slide. Here's a picture of us. So we meet in the Bone Student Center, and it's awesome. We're up there on the third floor. We go up all those stairs. You're always huffing and puffing if you take the stairs.
Okay.
And we're up there. You know, even if you see in the middle, we kind of have like a model in our passion group. And I love it. And we're just a great group together and just having fun. And we have a young group, just a lot of energy. I love the fellowship in our group. We're just together, just always joking and talking and just really encouraging one another. So it's definitely just an encouragement in the middle of the week. You can go to the next slide. We've been going through this book called Forgotten God. And it was written by Francis Chan. And it really teaches on the Holy Spirit. So what it often talks about, and he called it Forgotten God because we often talk about God the Father, Jesus the Son, but then we can neglect the Holy Spirit, the other part of the Trinity. And so he wrote this book called Forgotten God. And for myself, I first learned about the Holy Spirit when I became Christian. You can go to the next slide, Acts 2. I want to read Acts 2:36 when a man named Mark Decker from Champaign shared the gospel with me. This was really the climax. And Peter was preaching to many Jews this day. And in Acts 2:36, he said, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So like the people here in Acts 2, I heard the gospel. I believed in it. I repented of all my sins. I got baptized, and I made Jesus Lord of my life, saying, "I don't live the rest of my life for me or what I want to do, but I choose to live the rest of my life living it for God."
Amen.
And when I chose to get baptized, just like the people here in Acts 2, they repented and got baptized for what? For forgiveness of their sins. That's when my sins were forgiven.
Yeah.
They also received the Holy Spirit. That's when I received the Holy Spirit, meaning receiving as in the Holy Spirit is inside of me then.
Yeah.
And I was added to their number. It says they were added to their number that day. That means they became part of God's kingdom. They became a Christian. That's when I became a Christian. And so early on as a Christian, I started seeing the Holy Spirit pop up all over the Bible as I was reading. I saw this importance drawn to it, but I didn't understand how he fit in my life. So I started to read Forgotten God as I was a college kid. And very quickly I understood, because I started to read trying to learn about the Holy Spirit, but I discovered quickly that's not the end goal, to just learn,
right,
but ultimately to be led by the Spirit.
Come on.
Deuteronomy 29:29. That's an easy one to remember. 29:29. And in Deuteronomy 29:29, Moses, he's giving, it's the second giving of the law. He's preparing God's people as Joshua is about to lead them into the promised land. And he says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children, that we may follow all the words of this law." See, God says here that there are secret things that belong to him. So things just he knows about. But there's also things that are revealed, things that we can see in his word that we know are true and that we can follow. You know, we can't know everything about God. We're getting like just a glimpse in this life.
Yep.
I can't explain everything about the Holy Spirit to you. It would be arrogant for me to come up and just say, "Let me explain God, the God of the universe, as me bless you." A man who's just lived for a few years, this little person on this planet, is going to come up and explain God. I can't do that.
Right.
I can't come up and say, "This is what, you know, this is what God's thinking." I don't even know what my wife is thinking a lot of the time. But we don't want to let the knowledge that we can't know everything about God and his spirit prevent us or be a scapegoat to not try to know him. You know, I quickly learned the end goal is to live by the Spirit. You know, my sermon today is titled "Live by the Spirit," and I want to share three practical ways to live by the Spirit.
Come on, Peter.
John chapter 14, verse 16. John 14, 16 through 17. Jesus is about to leave. He's about to go to the cross, and he's about to leave his disciples. And he promises the Holy Spirit. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." So Jesus is letting his disciples know, "Hey, I'm leaving, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you." And he describes him as a counselor. He says, "Counselor, the Spirit of truth." You know, when you think about it, Jesus, he walked with the disciples. He was their counselor. He showed them how to live. He set an example. He taught them. He served them. He washed their feet. He was their counselor, their guide. And then ultimately saying, "Hey, I'm going to send someone just like me. And he's not just going to walk alongside you. He's going to be in you." The counselor, the Holy Spirit. Jesus described the Holy Spirit as a counselor. So this helper, this guide. Is the Spirit your counselor today? Even notice in verse 17 how Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a he.
Yeah.
Look in verse 17. I underlined, "The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and be in you." So this isn't just semantics. This is important. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit the way Jesus and God's word talks about the Holy Spirit. You know, it is in the name, Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is a he.
Yeah.
It lays it out clearly, and you can look in other places in the Bible over and over. You will see the Holy Spirit addressed as he. But yet, that's not how we talk about him.
Right.
We often say it. I hear Christians say it. But the Holy Spirit is not an it, not something we can just control or use. The Holy Spirit is a he, that we're supposed to have this relationship
right.
Where he counsels, he guides us in our journey, yeah. In our life, because we're in this sanctification stage. There's always that one word, right? Where it's like, man, that's tough. I used to be a third grade teacher, and I'd always like, and I just laugh it off and just laugh at myself. But we're in the sanctification stage, right?
Yep.
So we've been justified. We've become Christians. We've been forgiven. Our slate is wiped clean. Now we're in the sanctification stage where God is molding us to be like his son, Jesus. And who's that helper? And who's this counselor in this stage we're in?
Yep.
The Holy Spirit. And then one day, I can't wait, we'll glorification stage, where we'll get to be with God, and we'll get to be with him forever in heaven. But right now, this is the stage you're in.
Come on.
We got to embrace it. We got to embrace him as our counselor.
Amen.
We can't control the Holy Spirit. He's not a power to control. He's meant to be who leads us.
Right?
Right? That's what he's meant to be in our lives. My first practical is pray for the Spirit's power. John 14, verse 26, Jesus goes on. John 14, 26 through 27. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid.
Yeah.
It's so encouraging because Jesus, he's letting them know, hey, I'm leaving. And his guys are like, whoa, like, what if we don't remember everything you've said? What if we don't remember? And he's like, the Holy Spirit's going to remind you of everything I've taught you. He's going to teach you all things. Just like the Holy Spirit is that teacher for the disciples then, he's a teacher for us today. He will teach us all things. He will remind us of what Jesus has taught us.
Amen.
The Spirit helped teach them, and he will teach us. How, though? I think as I pray, as I read God's Word, I see the Holy Spirit counseling me. You know, every morning, I sit down, and before I even read the Bible, I just pray. And I remind myself, why do I do this? Why do I read the Bible and pray? Well, I do it because I just want to love God. I just want to have this relationship with him.
Yeah.
So I say, God, I just want to love you right now. And right now, I just ask that I can know the love that you have for me. And then the last thing I pray is I just ask God, can your Holy Spirit just counsel me right now? Can he just teach me all things? In Jesus' name, amen. And then I start reading, I just listen to God, and then I start praying. And I kid you not, I've done this whole last year, every morning, and I've seen God teach me so many things. I've seen his Spirit just lead me into this truth. It is incredible. God will answer that prayer.
Come on.
Ask God to counsel you. And let's be faithful that he'll answer us.
Amen.
You know, we need to be confident that God will also counsel other people. You know, not just praying that he'll counsel us, but, you know, as we teach and admonish one another, other brothers and sisters in Christ, or we're teaching somebody that doesn't know God yet, we're trying to share the gospel with him. We need to be confident that God will teach them.
Yeah.
God will help them get it.
Yeah.
I've had so many moments where I've been like, oh, I got to say this just right. And then this brother will get it.
You know?
This thing he's confused about. Or this person I'm sharing the gospel with, I got to just, the way I word it, if I word it just right, they're going to get it forever. They'll never ask me about that again. It'll connect. But it's not about me.
Right.
Now, we should try to do our best to communicate, right? We shouldn't just be, you know, talking like babies and just like, oh, they'll figure it out, you know? Like, we want to put our best foot forward, but it's not us who makes the difference.
Come on.
Yep.
You know, we share with one another, we try to guide and teach one another, but we also need to be praying for one another.
Yeah.
Because that's what's going to make the difference. The Holy Spirit is the one who teaches.
Yeah.
Even further, John 16, verse 7 and 8, Jesus goes on to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 7, he says, I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. There's times when I read the Bible and I hear Jesus talking, and I'm like, what did you just say? Wait, what? Is that right? Well, he's got to be right. He's Jesus. He only said what the Father told him to say. He was never wrong. He never had to apologize for anything he said.
Right.
I don't get it. You know, he said, it's better for me to go away and the Counselor come to you.
Right.
As a young Christian, I often thought, you know, oh man, things would be so much easier if I just lived 2,000 years ago. And I could just walk along Jesus, you know, alongside him and just be with him. You know, I'm not going to sin. He's right next to me. I'm right next to Jesus. And I had this incorrect thinking because really nothing in creation is hidden from God's sight. But I thought, man, my life will be easier if I can just walk alongside. I'm a visual learner. I just need to be with him, you know, because I walk around as a Christian today and I'm thinking, what would Jesus do? I ask myself that a lot. WWJD. But if I lived 2,000 years ago, I could just look over and see it. I could just see, what would Jesus do? Well, let's look. Oh, okay. He's washing those people's feet. He's feeding thousands of people. He's teaching in the, you know, and it's just incredible. He teaches with authority. He's driving people out of the temple. It's a house of prayer. He's just constantly going to these solitary places to be with God. Man, I just want to be like that. That's what I need to be doing. But the reality is Jesus said, it's better that I go.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit to come. You know, do you believe that truth?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I tell you the truth. Because instead of having Jesus just walk alongside, now we have God's Spirit inside us. And Jesus even went on, you can read the rest of 16, but he talked about how you'll do even greater things than I.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still trying to have faith to believe
wow.
in that. Because that is the truth. It's incredible. And you can go to the next one. Read this one on your own. But Romans 8, you know, we're talking about praying for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prays for you. It's incredible. He intercedes. He prays for all the saints. That's you. And he prays. What does he pray? For God's will in your life. You know, we often pray what we want. The Holy Spirit just prays for what God wants in your life.
Come on.
It's incredible. Read that one on your own. It'll blow you away. Another practical is rely on the Spirit.
Amen.
There's lots of ways that we rely on the Spirit, but I just want to share one. Relying on the Spirit when it comes to temptation and in overcoming sin. Galatians 5, verse 16.
Let's go, Peter.
There's a lot of scripture today. My mom always said, I like hearing a lot of scripture on Sunday.
Amen.
And she's right, because we need to listen to God as much as possible. Galatians 5, 16. It says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So he says, live by the Spirit, live in accordance with God's will, and you won't gratify the sinful nature. You won't sin. So when you're walking in God's will, when you're living by the Spirit, you will not be in sin in those moments. You'll be living out God's will. You'll be doing incredible things. Now, as a Christian, sometimes I had an off thought. You know, I thought, you know, I'm trying to live just not to sin. As a young Christian, that was kind of my mindset. I wouldn't say it outright, but that was kind of how I lived some days. It's like, ooh, don't think that. Don't take that. Don't look at that. And that was kind of how I lived, and it was just really uncomfortable. It was just really negative to my being. Instead, I think living by the Spirit is you're just focused on doing such good things. You know, you recognize, wow, I have these gifts. And actually, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about how the Holy Spirit gave us gifts and different talents and abilities. And I'm embracing those gifts to glorify God. So I'm taking those gifts and I'm recognizing, man, I could use this for this. You know, God has good deeds planned out for you. It says in Ephesians 2:10, these good deeds just waiting, planned out for us to do. And when you're living by the Spirit, you're just embracing your gifts and just using them. You know, last night I was at a Friendsgiving party with some different people that are here this morning, and it was awesome. And the group, you know, that led it, they did such a good job. Like, I felt at home in their home.
Yeah.
Because there was structure, there were games, there was food, there was fellowship. It was incredible. They were using their gifts to bring unity to the body. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Right? That's what we want to do. And that's when we can tell, man, I'm living in the Spirit. I'm living by the Spirit. And we just see this good fruit coming from our life.
Yeah.
But how do we do this? Because we have this conflict, too, that it talks about in Galatians 5. So you have a sinful nature, and it's in conflict. It's in battle with the Holy Spirit inside you. And they're constantly at war. So how do we live by the Spirit? How do we overcome in instances with sin? Well, actually, in Romans 8, it talks more about this. Romans 8, verse 9.
Come on, Peter.
Come on, Peter.
Romans 8, verse 9, it says, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. I feel like there's been moments as a Christian where I felt like I'm still a slave to sin. Where I feel like Satan has just attacked me, and I've had insecurity and just struggles, and I felt like, man, I felt like Satan just talking to me like, you're never going to get over that sin. You're always going to be that way. You're always going to think that way. You're never going to be better at this. Never. It's not going to happen. But I'm not a slave to sin. I'm not a slave. I'm a son of God.
Come on. Yep.
And I'm controlled by the Spirit. That's who controls me.
Right.
You know, sin has no control. Satan has no more control. It's God who has control of me.
Yep.
I have to internalize that because my insecurity battles. And I battle with who I am right now or who I'm becoming. The reality is I can't overcome my sin by myself. I've tried it. It doesn't work. I can't fight by my power. And that wasn't God's plan.
Right.
You know, I've thought, I just need to be more disciplined. You know, I need to watch my words, my eyes, my heart, my thought. I just need to be more on it. But that wasn't God's plan. What did it say in verse 13? It said, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body. So God's saying, you know, let my Spirit guide you. Let my Spirit help you, change you, mold you, be holy. Let me help you with that.
Yep.
You know, that's God's plan.
Come on.
It's to rely on His Spirit to fight Satan.
Amen.
And how do we do that? Well, I look at my model, my example, which is Jesus. How did He fight sin? Well, He was quoting Scripture, right? He was renewing His mind by, you know, just saying the truth when He was hearing those lies from Satan. You know, we need to be able to have those Scriptures. When I'm tempted, it's like, oh, there's no way out. Well, actually, no. In God's Word in 1 Corinthians 10, He says, there is a way out when I'm being tempted. And I can stand up over this. There is a way that the Holy Spirit is guiding me out of this situation. You know, I ask myself questions. You know, what does God want me to do right now? Because I'm hearing in my head what Satan wants me to do.
Right. Yep.
But what does God want me to do?
Yep.
How would I feel after I do that sin? I'm going to feel terrible. I'm going to regret it. I'm not going to like it in the end. So why even go down that road, right? That's some of the renewing mind that I've been learning. You know, we can ask questions, but also, I think, prayer too. You know, Jesus even talked about battling sin in prayer when He was asked how to pray. What was the end of that prayer? And lead us from temptation. He told us to pray, lead me from temptation, God. So He didn't say, take the temptation away. He said, lead me from temptation. So when you're feeling tempted with a sin, Satan has something in that moment he wants you to do. He has something he wants me to do. But at that same moment, the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, there's this better way where it doesn't have to be destructive to you or hurt people around you. Instead, it can be incredible. Let me guide you. Let me counsel you. Follow me. Lead me from temptation.
Amen.
It's possible. It's there.
Yep.
We can pray like David, because I think beyond just our mind, we want to renew our heart. We also want to pray, God, create in me a pure heart, like David prayed. We can rely on the Spirit. I think God's been calling me lately to just have more faith when it comes to His Spirit.
Yep.
You know, in those verses, it said, you know, the same Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is in you. So the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead, His Spirit is now in me. And do I have faith that God's power can help me say no? That can help mold me to be somebody that I never thought I'd be? Absolutely. We have to have confidence.
Come on.
We aren't perfect in this battle. No one is. But I'm committed to following God and His Spirit. Let's focus on relying on God, on His Spirit to renew our mind, our heart, our faith. And lastly, the last practical I want to share, and Anna, you can come on up. Anna's going to share a little bit, is keeping in step with the Spirit. So I'll let Anna share first.
Come on, Anna.
Okay. There we go. Hello. So yes, like Peter said, just keeping in step with the Spirit. That's I'm going to share just a little bit of what I've learned lately. I feel like from the help of Forgotten God, there was a point that we talked about as a group that I really hope will stick with me the rest of my life. And so the chapter we read recently was called Forget About His Will for Your Life. And His meaning God. So kind of controversial, like why would we forget about God's will for our life? But the main point of it was sometimes we can get so focused on, you know, what does God want me to do 5 years from now or 10 years from now? Like, what's God's big plan for my life? And just we can get caught up in, like, I don't know God's will for my life. And what is that? So I'm going to share a little excerpt from the book. So it says, God wants us to listen to His Spirit on a daily basis. And even throughout the day, as difficult and stretching moments arise, and in the midst of the mundane, my hope is that instead of searching for God's will for my life, each of us would learn to seek hard after the Spirit's leading in my life today. May we learn to pray for an open and willing heart to surrender to the Spirit's leading with that friend, child, spouse, circumstance, or decision in our lives right now. And so that's what we talked about as a group, and it was really good just to get that focus of, like, okay, it's not about, like, big picture plan for my life, but it's, like, what can I do today?
Right.
Like, what does God have planned for me today or this minute, this hour? And just really trying to be more aware of what God might be leading me to and what His Spirit is really, like, pushing me towards. You know, that's what I want to go after, and I feel like that's what I've learned. And so, let's see. As I was kind of reflecting on, like, what I wanted to share today, I had some time on campus. I was just sitting around, like, thinking through, what can I share? And after I wrote all this out, I really started to think, like, you know, what is God calling me to right now? Because there might be something that He's has planned, and I just don't have my eyes open to it yet. And so I see, so there's this woman who works at ISU who I talked to her a couple of times last year, shared my faith with her, and I see her literally every day, but it's like we don't say hi to each other, it's just kind of this passing. So anyways, right after I finish reading or writing this stuff down, it's literally me in this room and her in this room, and she's over there having her lunch. So I was like, oh, man, like, I think if I'm really going to, like, practice, you know, what I'm saying, I'm learning, like, I need to do it, you know, and it's really hard. That's what I learned is, like, when you do realize, like, man, God wants me to do this right now in this moment, that's when you get nervous and you're like, oh, I don't want to do that. So anyways, my heart was pounding, but I was like, you gotta go for it. And it was awesome. And she was actually reading this book called Mere Christianity. And it just felt like a God moment of, like, whoa, like, she's searching for God.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you know, seeds are planted, and I hope we can keep building a relationship. So, I don't know, that was just this week's kind of experience, but...
That's awesome.
Yes, thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Amen, thanks for sharing. So she's... I love that thought of trying to daily follow God's Spirit. What does He want me to do today? Because God, most of the people you read about in the Bible, even Abraham, he didn't know fully where he was going. He was just told to get up and go. And he didn't know all of the final destinations, and we won't know that, because God wants us to rely on Him and His Spirit and live day to day. It says it in Galatians 5:25.
Come on, Peter.
This is my favorite part. Just like Anna shared, this is my favorite part of the book that's really helped me in my day-to-day faith as a Christian.
Amen.
Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So as a Christian, it says, since we live by the Spirit. So obviously, we're a Christian, so we live by the Spirit. That's who we live by. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. I love that imagery. Keep in step. So step by step. So that means my next move, I'm trying to do exactly what God wants me to do. Every moment, every thought, every word, every action, I'm just trying to keep in flow and rhythm with God's Spirit, right behind Jesus, following him. That's challenging, though. You know, I have a will, and I know the Holy Spirit's will and where he's leading me won't always be where I want to go. That's going to take humility to say, you know what, I don't know what's best. I need to just trust his way, even if I don't know where the end of that road is. It's going to take surrender. Ultimately, I think as we follow the Spirit, it's going to live to a life that's going to be challenging. Denying yourself, carrying your cross.
Yep.
You're going to suffer.
Yep. Come on, Peter.
But I think it's the only way that we're meant to live. You know, if we're going to follow the Holy Spirit, think about it. This service is going to be over in a little bit. How does God want you to talk to the people in this room when the service is done?
Right.
Later today, when you're at the store, how does he want you to talk to that cashier?
Mm-hmm.
When you're at home tonight with your family, how does he want you to treat the people that you live with?
Yep.
Tomorrow, not what do you want to do, what does the Holy Spirit want you to do? I think that's the mind shift that I had from reading Forgotten God, from studying the Holy Spirit, is I'm not walking around thinking, what do I think is best? What do I want to do?
Right.
My mind is just focused. What does God want me to do? And let's go do it. You know, in the morning, I pray and I say, God, can you just let me be in tune with the Holy Spirit and what you're guiding me to do today? And then as I go about my day, I see him put things on my heart. Maybe conversations to have or different things to do. And I think, okay, is this from God? And I pray. I think of God's word. I see if what's on my heart lines up with God's word. And if it does, it's probably from God. It's probably his Holy Spirit leading you. And then I do my best to embrace it. I've fallen short in this so many times. I've felt like, ooh, I feel like God really wants me to talk to this person. Man, I feel like he really wants me too, and then I go the other way.
Yeah.
And I just keep going about my day. I don't have that conversation.
Yeah.
There's other moments where I see somebody begging. I've seen people just begging, just outside in the cold. And I felt like, man, I should go get to know that person. Maybe buy them a meal. But I just keep going with my agenda, my errands, what I plan to do. I want to follow God's Spirit. Because when we do, incredible things happen. You know, when you follow God's Spirit, it is unbelievable. Things happen that you can't do on your own.
Yep.
It's amazing. I think about being in the Bones Student Center and walking through and seeing this guy with some really cool glasses. His name was Austin. I was like, I got to talk to that guy. And we strike up conversation, and then he ends up coming to church. He starts studying the Bible, and then he became a Christian. And then he started bringing his brother out, Chance. And he starts bringing Chance out. And then Chance starts studying the Bible, and Chance becomes a Christian this fall. And I just think, man, that stuff, no way. That's all God.
Yeah.
That's stuff that only could happen if we just embrace God and try to follow him.
Come on.
It's incredible. What's the fruit? Last verse, Galatians 5, verse 22 through 23. I wrote it up here because in case you don't have a Bible, I want you to be able to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. You know, when you see an apple tree, what do you expect to see on that tree?
Apples.
You expect to see an apple, a specific kind of fruit. You know, as a temple of the Holy Spirit, we expect to see love, joy, peace coming from our life. But when I look at that list, I don't always feel like, oh, that's me. I don't feel like that always describes me. I don't feel like I see myself there. And I try to rationalize it. Oh, everybody gets angry. Everybody's worried about something. I try to dumb it down. We can't do that. You know, I look at this list too, though, and I don't just rationalize. I look at that list, and I'm like, that's who I want to be.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see in my life. That's what I want to see just pouring out. The fruit of my life is just love, just peace. People are around me, and they're just filled with just encouragement. That's how we should be once we're around each other. I know I feel that around you guys.
Yeah.
And you might be thinking, yeah, I wish, Peter, you were a little more loving, or I wish you were a little more kind, and amen, I'm working on it.
Yeah.
But take a minute and just imagine yourself just filled with the fruit there. Take a moment just to imagine yourself filled with those characteristics. You know, going through life where every response to your spouse is loving. You know, sitting in traffic and you're just in peace. You're not angry. Why do people drive that way? No, you're just in total peace. You know, however people act or talk to you, you just respond in gentleness and kindness.
Yep.
The reality is, these are characteristics of the fruit of our life. So it's not something you do, though. Like, I'm going to go do a bunch of joy, or I'm going to go do a bunch of peace. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
You know, it's not basketball. God wants our life to be, the different things we do, to be filled with this fruit. So when we serve, it's not in, because, you know, mom said to do this, you know, or, you know, serving in this attitude. No, it's like in love. Like, this is my favorite part of my day, to get to serve you. I just love doing this. What else is it? You know, ultimately, I look at this list and the fruit, it's just beyond us, right? We need God's help. And I think for us, what can we do? Beg God to mold us to be like this. To mold us where it's just pouring out of us. Love, joy, peace. As we do different things, let's let that be the heart behind we do it. You know, I'm going to do this peacefully. I'm going to do this in kindness. I'm going to be gentle in how I speak. I'm going to be loving in how I talk. It's going to be incredible. That's where the Holy Spirit is leading us to. If you want to learn more about the Holy Spirit, read Forgotten God. You know, you can borrow it from me. If you need it, ask me. After this semester, though, we're still using it. We still got one more week. But it's been a book that's helped me with my day-to-day life following God. As a disciple, we are called to live by the Spirit. How are you going to do that? How are we going to do that together? Let's pray for the Spirit's power. Let's rely on the Spirit. And every day, let's keep in step with the Spirit and God's will. Amen.